Amen. All right. Well, if you guys were here last week, we kind of ended on that aspect of, you were talking about food and water and that being controlled by the Antichrist. And invariably, you get into the aspect of food and water and the health thing and all the peer pressure that people put on you about, you got to eat right, you got to stay away from this, you don't, you're going to die. And remember all that? Well, believe it or not, folks, in my heavy-duty research, I was able to find, for those of you who just can't handle that peer pressure anymore, and you're just feeling guilty and convicted and all that stuff, but you don't know what to do, I found a universal exercise routine, John, that I think will work for anybody in this sanctuary. And let's see if you can agree. This is the ultimate one, okay? It's very simple. You don't have to go buy exercise equipment, none of that stuff. Watch this, okay? First of all, you find a comfortable place to stand on, right? And you got to have plenty of room on each side. Well, why? Well, that makes sense when you take a look at the next step. First, you take a five-pound potato bag, okay, in each hand. You extend your arms straight out from your sides and hold it there as long as you can. Okay, that's just the first step there. Now try to reach a full minute and then relax. That's your first step right there. Okay, now each day you'll find that you're going to hold this position just a little bit longer, okay, and you kind of work your way into it. And then after a couple weeks, okay, move up to 10-pound potato bags. Right, Mark? Does it sound making sense? I tried to break it down for you. It's all easy, very self-explanatory. Then go up to 50-pound potato bags, right? I know it's a big jump from 10, but I'm telling you, I think we could do this. Okay, 50-pound potato bags. And then eventually try to get to where you can get, listen, you can lift a 100-pound potato bag in each hand, hold your arm straight for more than a full minute. Now, I'm trying not to boast, but that's where I'm at right now on this level, right? Yeah, I wear baggy clothes to hide the guns, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be modest, you know what I'm saying? Right, okay, but anyway, and then after that, you're going to start feeling confident at that level, okay, and then put a potato in each bag. It's one of the ones that takes about 3 seconds to start kicking in, and you finally get it. Okay, but it's a universal. We can all do that one, right, huh? I tell you, fits my motto, no pain, no pain. That's right. Okay, but seriously, folks, as cool and universal and effective as that exercise routine was, Ruth's shaking your head. Okay, believe it or not, there is coming a time when the whole planet does need to exercise seriously, except it's not potato sacks or bags, okay? It is called biblical faith. And you better exercise that biblical faith real quick because you're running the risk of being left behind. If you don't exercise your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be left behind at the rapture of the church, and you'll be thrust into the seven-year tribulation, and that's not a joke. You'll wish it was just holding 100-pound potato bags in each arm. Oh, it's going to be horrible. You talk about pain, it's going to be pain and nothing but pain. In fact, Jesus said, I didn't say it, he said that's going to be the time of greater horror than anything this world has ever seen or will ever see again, and that unless God shortened that time frame, i.e. kept it to just 7 years, the entire human race would be destroyed. People need to know about what is coming. God is going to have the last word on all the evil and the suffering and this new world order, one world government baloney that's unfolding before our eyes. Jesus Christ is coming back and he's going to fold it right back up. Okay, but people need to realize that's going to be 7 years of God's wrath. You don't want to be here, okay? Take the way out through Jesus. Now, speaking of which, that's why we've been saying that it's not just that God's a God of wrath. He's what? He's a God of love as well. Well, how do you know? Well, because he sent his son so that we can escape that, okay? Not just the seven-year tribulation, 7 years of God's wrath, but hell itself, okay? Now, God doesn't tell us the exact day or the hour because we goof off, wouldn't we? Saved and unsaved, unfortunately. But he does give us signs that it's getting close. Now, we saw that one of the big signs that it's getting close, i.e. the seven-year tribulation, and that means the rapture happens prior to that, okay? That's our motivating point. And that was the Jewish people and the Antichrist. And we saw that for a 20-week study. Lots of great information going on there. And then we saw the second sign was modern technology, okay? 16-week study on how all that has everything to do with the days we're living in. Another sign that the seven-year tribulation is getting close. And then the last 14 times, who's counting? Thank you, Pastor Bobby. I am. We've seen it's the AI invasion. And what we saw is the Bible predicted not just 2,000 years ago, Book of Revelation. Now we're in the Book of Daniel, 2,600 years ago, that Daniel said when you see an increase of information exploding across the planet, man, it's going to lead to what he called the end of times. Now guess what? The secularists admit, non-Christians admit, that's exactly what we're headed for. They don't call it end of times. They call it singularity. And their words is this increase of information is creating what's called artificial intelligence. And that artificial intelligence, the danger is it's going to be popped into AI systems, AI robots, and it's going to take over the planet and destroy humanity. That's what the secularists are saying. But that's also what God said would happen when you're living the last days, okay? So we began to take a look, well, how did this happen? How are we getting this shape so fast? in our lifetime. Well, we saw there's a race for AI, right? No matter, even though God says don't do this, it's going to lead to the end of times, and the secularists are saying it's going to destroy humanity. Corporations, militaries, governments around the world, everybody is trying to build the biggest, baddest AI to beat all the other ones. Then we saw the definition of AI, the types of AI, the history of AI, the big data, the makers of AI. And the last 11 times, just like God warned about, the future of AI, it ain't looking good. AI is literally being called the new electricity. It's pervading all aspects of society around the globe, not just America, folks. It's taken over all kinds of aspects, and it's leading to a complete total takeover that I believe the Antichrist is going to tap into and do his dirty deeds in the 7-year tribulation. We saw that in the area of business, the AI has taken over. Finance, AI has taken over. Convenience, many weeks we did on that aspect to get us to go along with it. And then last time, speaking of the exercise routine, we saw AI has even taken over agriculture on a global basis. Now we know that's going to happen based on Revelation 6, the sealed judgments. Remember that? That there's going to get a point in time where you got to work for one day for a quart of wheat or 3 quarts of barley, but the famine's so bad during the first half of the 7-year tribulation that somebody is going to control the planet's food supply in order to dole it out. Remember that? Well, guess what? It's being done. And it's being done not just with these entities controlling the world's food supply, but they're looking at AI to do all the food supply and the water on the planet without need of humans. Total global control of the food and water. We saw that's happening with AI tractors and drones and livestock apps and even workers. You don't need people anymore. In this new AI system, AI will grow all the food for us so we can just sit back and keep clicking the channel. Isn't that great? No, that's total domination, man. There's no independence. Give it up trying to go to your bug-out shelter and grow your food and store. Antichrist, folks, has thought of everything. That's why you don't want to be there. Take the one and only way out through Jesus Christ. But once again, Pastor Bobby, I'm still preaching, so guess what? There's got to be more, and there is. You know, that's what you do as pastors. You just, all week long, that's all we do. We stare at each other. What can we do this week? And we're very effective at it. Yeah, whatever. I'm joking. Okay, yeah, okay, no, I'm not. But anyway, that's right. The fifth area, AI is taking over. I'm telling you, folks, I got two today, and they're just creepy. I just can't believe we don't even know. We're so busy, we're distracted. We don't know what these elitists are building behind the scenes. Now, the fifth area is taking over is communication. Now, this, to me, is a really big issue. We dealt with this a little bit in our modern technology, but I want to take it a step further in this study, because there's people out there, non-Christians, obviously, unfortunately, and they'll say, well, I don't need Jesus. You guys are a bunch of wackos. And you know what? I'm the ultimate survivor, right? And I'm just going to hide out, and then nobody's going to find me in the 7-year tribulation, and I'll just escape that whole Mark of the Beast scenario, and I'm just going to make it to the back end. Well, give that up. The Bible says if you ain't redeemed by the time of the end of the 7-year tribulation, the angels are going to come at the end of the 7-year tribulation, and they're going to harvest you up and throw you straight into hell. Read the scripture. It's called the angel harvest. In Bible prophecy, right? So get saved right now. But that's what people, I've been watching these studies, Pastor Bill. I'm not a Christian. I don't need Jesus, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put a stop to this Antichrist thing, and then it'll never happen. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to communicate to other people what he's up to and all his dastardly deeds, and we're going to put a stop to it. Really? You really think the Antichrist hasn't thought of that? That he's going to have his finger on the button and he could literally control all the communication in the world? Well, folks, believe it or not, it is already being put into place on a massive scale. The Antichrist will not only know who you are, what you've done, what you're saying, anything. He'll know who's worshiping him and who's not. But he'll know your pinpoint location. He'll be able to take you out just like that. Now, again, I didn't say that. Jesus did. Open your Bibles to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, of course, our opening text, verses 3 through 11. This is the classic question from the disciples. How do we know about your coming? Now, the coming they're talking about is Jesus' second coming. This is not the rapture, okay? Matthew 24 is certainly dealing with the Jewish elect, okay? And the events of the 7-year tribulation in chronological order, which we're not going to be there, okay? But Matthew 24, 3 through 11, let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. But what are some signs that it's getting close? What's going to happen in the 7-year tribulation? What are those people going to experience, unfortunately, who did not receive Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, today? Let's take a look. Verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and tell us, they said, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? And what's Jesus say? The first thing out of his mouth, watch out that what? No one deceives you. Now, why is that the first thing? Because this is, again, a parallel passage of Revelation chapter 6. What starts the seven-year tribulation? Daniel 9:27, when the Antichrist makes a covenant with the people of Israel. Anybody want to make a covenant with Israel lately? Yeah, it's in play, all kinds of stuff, right? Well, one guy's going to do it, and he's going to be the Antichrist. That event is what starts the seven-year tribulation. And that's the white horse rider, Revelation 6. He rises in this false peak. He's going to deceive the planet. So again, chronological order, perfectly matching here. Once again, God doesn't contradict himself. Jesus said, don't let anybody what? Deceive you. Why? Because one guy's going to come and deceive the planet, the Antichrist. And that's what he says. He says, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. What's the next thing? You're going to hear wars. Well, why do you say that? Because Revelation 6, right after the first seal, what's the next? The second seal, the war, right? And I'm not going to break all that down. We don't have time for that. But as you see, it's a perfect parallel to the events of the seven-year tribulation. This is in the seven-year tribulation. It has nothing to do with the church. Okay, but let's continue on. He says, you're going to hear wars and rumors of wars, but see to that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be what? Famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are just the beginning of birth pains. You're still in the first half of the seven-year tribulation. And then he says, you're going to be handed over to be persecuted and what? Put to death. And what kind of a scale? Here's what he says. And you'll be hated by what? All nations. Now, you guys seem pretty sharp this morning. All nations kind of means all nations. You guys give yourself a golf clap. That's amazing. That's right. All nations, right? It's a global event, a global hatred, a global persecution. And that's what he said. All nations because of me. At that time, many will what? Turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. You may be seated if you can. Okay, but again, we're still just dealing with the first half of the seven-year tribulation there. If we were to read on, he deals with the abomination of desolation, which is the midway point. Okay, but what we see here, Jesus said that not only the seven-year tribulation is going to start out with deceit, the rise of the Antichrist, then it's going to move very quickly into wars and rumors of wars. Then you're going to see, as you see in Revelation 6 with the other sealed judgments, you're going to get famines, you're going to get earthquakes and pestilence. But he said what? There's going to become a massive rise of what? Persecution, a global hatred to anybody who turns to God during that time. Now, is that us? Again, no. These are the people who got saved after the rapture. Okay, you should have got saved now. You could avoid the whole thing. Okay, called the tribulation saints. That's not the church age saints, you and I right now. But it's also speaking of the Jewish elect. Okay, that God has not done with the Jewish people. We know Revelation 12 that the archangel Michael is going to sovereignly protect one third of the Jewish people. Okay, but the Antichrist is going on a hunting spree, as we've seen many times before. Anybody that follows God in the seven-year tribulation, your head literally, Revelation 20, is going to be on the chopping block. Okay, and that's what Jesus said here. But he not only says that, he says, listen, he says it's going to be a time where they're going to hate, very strong words, hate his followers all over the world, and not just hate them and just point fingers at them and say, we don't like you. Right? It says what? They're going to kill them. They're going to hunt them down and kill them. In fact, they're going to betray them, which literally means to turn them in. It's the Greek word paradidomai, and it means to listen, to give into the hands of, to give up to the custody of, for judgment, for punishment, and or to be put to death. Right? It brings to light other passages where it says, like, you know, man, a family member will betray another family member during that time and turn you in, all because they're trying to save their own hide from the Antichrist. It's a horrible time. You don't want to be there. But my question is this. I mean, this is happening in the seven-year tribulation. People are anybody who follows God is going to literally be betrayed. They're going to be turned in for death on a global scale. Right? So let's bring it down to now. Is that even possible for today? Can somebody literally, on a global scale, know, number one, if anybody on the planet is a follower of Jesus Christ, okay, number one, and number two, how in the world are they going to know where their location is to betray them, to turn them in, and for these people to come and take them out? Well, let me begin to break it down for you, okay? The first way is by having AI manage the global communication system. Now, we've already talked about this in our 16-week study on modern technology. We had a whole hour-long message on the cell phone. Remember that? The cell phone is the biggest Big Brother invention ever invented in the history of mankind. And everybody's got to have one, even four-year-olds. And in case if you don't have one, the government will get you one. Remember that? Why do they want us to have a cell phone? Because, hey, that's the biggest tracking, listening, viewing device. in the history of mankind. They'll know everything you say, every conversation, your exact pinpoint location. Now, that's already here. But again, we saw that it's already being controlled on a global basis. All forms of communication from not just cell phones, but TV, satellites, emails, computers, the internet, social media. Okay. Now, here's my point. Guess who they're looking at to running the back end of this global system? AI. And it's the same rationale we saw with the businesses, the finances, the agriculture, all the convenience things and the robots, right? That's just too big for humans to handle. I mean, you can't hire enough people to sit there and monitor all the communications or whatever, so you better have something superhuman to be able to handle that kind of traffic on a global basis, and it's AI. Okay? So AI is controlling all the communications on the planet. Not coming, it's already in here. But I want to get a little more personal. They're now taking it to the extra step. That's just global in general. Now they're pushing what's called internal communication, also controlled by AI. And what I'm talking about, folks, is they are moving from the generalized global concept of controlling. They literally have now individualized it. They will know down to the end. Nobody's going to escape this because they're saying, if you would just get a brain chip, I'm not joking, a brain chip, then it's going to open up all kinds of new ways for you to communicate like never before. Isn't that wonderful? Now, as we know, that's one of the two places that the Bible says the mark of the beast is going to go into, right? Let's take a look at that text again. Revelation 13, 16 through 17. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand, or where's this second option? On the forehead, right? So you got the hand, you got the forehead, right? And as we saw a couple weeks ago, we can kind of see the hand, right? But if you've been like me for years, you're like, who's going to do the head? I'm telling you, in the last year or even less, they are now overtime pitching the head option. It's not by chance, right? And he says, and unless you get that mark in the hand or the head, no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Okay, now again, what's wild is this option here, option number two, the head, I'm telling you, is being pitched as you just got to have it. Okay, and then what they're pitching is if you would get a brain chip, again, you will be able to communicate to anyone at any time, instantly, anywhere in the world, without a cell phone, without a computer, any of that stuff. You could literally just do it with your brain. It sounds freaky, but the technology is already here, already being promoted. And I want to demonstrate that to you, okay? In fact, Elon Musk, we've seen him several times before. Remember him? He is saying that now merging our brains with computers is the next logical progression of this technology. And basically what he says is we've already been used to for years carrying our electronics that we communicate with, including the cell phone, but computers, whatever, wherever we go, on the outside. Well, there's a problem. You could lose it. It could get damaged, right? And so he says it's just the normal, natural, logical step to now put that technology on the inside, okay? He says we're technically already cyborgs. This is just the next step. Now, watch what he's saying here, and pay attention to the screen. It's not just a talk he's giving, but pay attention to at what event he's given this talk. It rhymes with world government. Watch this.
I mean, I do think that there's a potential path here, which is, and we're really getting into science fiction or create, you know, sort of advanced science stuff, but having some sort of merger with biological intelligence and machine intelligence. To some degree, we are already a cyborg. You think of the digital tools that you have, your phone, your computer, the applications that you have, like the fact that, as I was mentioning earlier, you can ask a question and instantly get an answer from Google or, you know, from other things. And it's like if somebody dies, their digital ghost is still around. You know, all of their emails and the pictures that they posted and the social media, that still lives, even if they physically, if they died. So over time, I think we'll probably see a closer merger of biological intelligence and digital intelligence between your brain and your digital, the digital extension of yourself. You know, we used to have like keyboards that we'd use a lot. Now we do most of our input through our thumbs on a phone. And that's just very slow. A computer can communicate at a trillion bits per second, but your thumb can maybe do, I don't know, 10 bits per second or 100 if you're being generous. So some high bandwidth interface to the brain, I think, will be something that helps achieve a symbiosis and between human and machine intelligence, and maybe solves the control problem.
Control problem? Why is he talking about a control problem at a world government summit? And then what's the panacea to fix the control problem? We need to encourage people to merge their brains via chip. We'll see here in a second. Okay. And that, you know, it's going to, you know, you won't need your keyboard anymore to communicate. You won't need your cell phone anymore to communicate. You can just do it with your mind. Won't that be fantastic? No, it's not. And again, for you thinking, well, this is going to be a long ways away. I mean, this is just, she's just doing this in theory. You know, it's going to take some while. It's going to take a few decades. No, Elon Musk isn't just talking about it at the World Government Summit, okay? He's already invented the device to do it very quickly. In-and-out procedure. Now, we've seen this before. It's called Neuralink. Remember that? And basically, this device that he invented will install this brain chip, as he says, as easy and quick and painless as going in to get a LASIK eye procedure. Walk in, walk out with your brain chip, and communicate like never before. But watch this.
Well, Elon Musk's next project isn't a car or a spaceship or a solar panel. The executive's latest startup is called Neuralink, which focuses on the goal of implanting chips into human brains and also connecting brains to computers. Here's what Elon Musk said at a conference in California about the technology last night.
This, I think, has a very good purpose, which is to cure important diseases and ultimately to help secure humanity's future as a civilization relative to AI. This, I think, has tremendous potential, and we hope to have this aspirationally in a human patient before the end of next year. So this is not far.
Not far, he says. The implantation of the neuron, the implantation of the neuron-sized threads requires the use of a special robot, but Musk said it's a minimally invasive surgery.
Take a look at these other implant technologies. One is called the Utah Array. The other is the Deep Brain Stimulator. They are very invasive. Now take a look at Neuralink's N1 sensor. It's tiny. Here it is on a finger. And here it is next to a penny. Back to our question, how does one implant something so tiny? Build a robot. This is a surgical robot that deals with the complexity of the surgery, such as the subject moving due to breathing. The robot is under the supervision of a surgeon as electro threads are implanted. The first product is focused on control. Patients wanted the ability to control a mobile device, no caretaker necessary. Once that control is possible through the implant, the phone output could also be redirected to a computer as mouse and keyboard inputs. Now, normally, here's how traditional brain surgery goes. Your head may be clamped in place, plus your head may be shaved, with scarring being a possibility. Neuralink says they want to arrive to something different. They likened it to LASIK. No big scars, no hospital stays. It would be a short procedure, and you get to keep all your hair.
Well, hey, that's a bonus. That's important. Yeah, I'll get that brain chip as long as I get to keep my hair. Right? Well, they got to figure it out for you. And of course, I'm being sarcastic. Hello. But do you see what's being pitched? It's not coming. It's already here. He's not just talking about it. He's developed the equipment to do it. And again, think of it. For years, we've known, oh, yeah, the hand. I get the hand. What about this head thing? I'm telling you, folks, they're ramping it up on a massive scale because there's two options for the mark of the beast, not just the hand, but the head. And what he's saying there, you just walk into an office, you get your brain chip, you walk out just as common as a LASIK eye procedure. Remember when that first came out? Well, I don't know. That's kind of risky. Now it's a dime a dozen. I ain't going to get no brain chip just so I don't need to. I can use my brain to communicate with. I don't need a cell phone, a keyboard, mouse, all that stuff. Folks, it's just step-by-step process, getting people warmed up to it, okay? But that's what it's going to do. Computers, you can link with that, cell phone, mouse, keyboard, you know, all the things that we communicate with, send text messages, all the forms of communication. Now you can do it with just your mind, right? I sure hope that nobody taps into that. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second, okay? But again, they're promoting this. It's not just his idea. It's not just his equipment. It's being promoted on a massive scale. All the benefits now, not just the hand chip. Oh, if you get a brain chip. boy, your life is going to be filled with wonders, right? And I'm just going to give you some headlines, folks. They say if you get a brain chip, you will be able to stream music straight into your brain. Oh, and isn't that a hassle? I mean, the wires, the pods, this, and the connection, the Bluetooth, I don't know how to make it work. Well, if you just get a brain chip, that's the article, folks. And this is from Musk. They asked him, with his same device, with Neuralink, would that allow you to do other things like stream music directly into your brain? And he said, I'll quote, this is very profound, yes. I'm not making, isn't that crazy? Right? But that's still not all. Musk also said that Neuralink's device, the brain chip, could, listen to this, this is creepy, stimulate the release of oxytocin and serotonin and other chemicals in your brain. Now, for those of you hooked on science, let me define that for you. What are those two chemicals? That is what's called our happy hormones, oxytocin and serotonin, right? Quote, when you are attracted to another person, your brain releases dopamine and your serotonin levels in your brain increase and oxytocin is produced, which causes you to feel a surge of positive emotion, elation, euphoria. So think about that. What they're basically saying, with this same brain chip, you'll not only be able to communicate directly through your brain and internalize all that, okay? And you'll not only be able to get music streamed directly to your brain, but listen, they'll make sure that you always feel great. Now think about that. You really think the Antichrist wouldn't use this technology? Not coming already here, right? Put yourself into the 7-year tribulation, right? You think that he wouldn't do that and that wouldn't be one of the benefits, if you will, of getting the mark of the beast? Yeah, buying and selling, but maybe it's a loaded term. Maybe, yeah, you'll get the chip and you get to keep buying and selling, but maybe it'll make sure that you'll always feel good about that decision. Oh, but you'll always be happy. And what is another epidemic in our society today? Depression. How many people right now suffering from depression would be tempted? If you just get a brain chip, we'll make sure you'll never feel that way again. We'll control the chemicals in your brain. You've seen all those horrible side effects with all that medication. No more of that. You just get a brain chip and you'll be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Get the brain chip. Maybe that'll be their theme song. I don't know, right? But it gets even worse than that. They say, hey, listen, I'm telling you, you get the brain chip, communication, you can email with your brain. Right? You guys ever get cramps on that? How many times you get? Even the cell phone, man, they still get it wrong. They always want to override your spelling. You can avoid that, Debbie, if you just get a brain chip. And I quote, watch this, researchers have now developed a way to email brain waves, okay, to transmit words from one person's brain to another person's brain. I'm not joking. Brain-to-brain transmission, that's what they call it, is a, quote, budding area of study. And this marks a huge step. It's the first time humans, listen, have been able to drop messages into another brain with this technology. I just think it pops into Jim's brain, email. Oh, wow, wouldn't that be great? Oh, but that's not all. They're also benefit for travel purposes, right? If you get a brain chip in your head, you could be like this lady who flew an F-35 fighter jet and a Cessna airplane, the article says, with her brain, with her mind. I don't have time to get in this, but some of the military contacts that I've had over the years, one gentleman told me that in the late 70s, early 80s, that his contact, the guy who used to be his bowling buddy, had a few too many drinks, and he was in the Air Force, and they were saying that they were not only already back then, because he'd asked me, he'd gone for like 2 weeks in the bowling, he'd come back, and then he'd be gone for a couple weeks, and he'd come back. He said, where do you keep going? He said, I'm on missions. Well, he finally spilled the beans one night, and you know what he said he was doing? He was not only, this is again, late 70s, early 80s, he was not only flying a jet from the, and this was on in California in Huntington Beach area, he was flying a jet from the West Coast to the East Coast in 1 hour. That wasn't the kicker. He said, but I was doing it with my brain. No controls. That was back then. And now they're pitching it for the average Joe. You can get a brain chip. Okay? And it isn't just that you get to drive airplanes and fly airplanes with your brain, but listen, I mean, who wouldn't want to have this one? If you get a brain chip, you can control your home with your thoughts. You know, you don't have to even speak it out to Alexa or Google Home anymore. You just think it with the brain chip, and it'll connect you to your home. Watch this. Using this technology embedded in ourselves and surroundings, you'll be able to control your environment with thoughts and gestures alone. Quote, you could walk into a room and mentally turn on the lights, control appliances, surf the web, write, send emails, play video games, dictate articles, and control a distant robot or avatar, or even drive a car. Because that's important because, you know, hey, I'm not going to be flying an F-35. You know, that's not cool. Well, you could drive a car. And Nissan's already come out with it, folks. You get a brain chip. They develop a car that can interpret signals from the driver's brain. It's the actual articles. Do you see how it's all merging? Do you see all the many benefits that they're trying to promote? Okay, that hand option, if you haven't warmed up to that, you better get this head option. Boy, if you get a brain chip, man, your world is going to be incredible. Listen to this. Nissan has developed a car that can read its driver's minds. Listen, the technology will be unveiled at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas next week. Drive your car with your brain. I know some of you probably just said, I know some people that they don't have that first part. And so now you got double trouble. But we're Christians. Don't think that. All right. In fact, they're saying, listen, the brain chips is literally going to do everything that has to do with communication. Remember, that's what we're talking about, communication. And literally, all you have to do is think it. And combined with the chip technology and AI, it will speak for you. Not coming, but already here. Watch this.
We talk about it as the future of communication, but this is not a future like, it's not a science fiction thing. This is not sci-fi. This is real. And it's been real for decades. So if anyone knows someone who has a pacemaker or a cochlear implant, these are all intelligent bionic wearable devices. They're used for a purpose for encoding or decoding the brain. If you think about someone who's lost a limb and they have a prosthetic arm or a leg, these now use different things like EMG sensors to understand electrical impulses in the muscles in order to trigger the legs to move in a way that are more comfortable and more natural. Well, what's happening right now is as technology has advanced and sensors are advancing at such a pace, you know, what took hundreds of years to get to here we're going to see the next 10 years, we're going to see huge leaps in technology and products, and we're going to see huge shifts in who we see walking down the street. We're going to see people with bionic legs walking down the street and people who are unsighted being able to see using technology. We're trying to figure out how to allow the brain to remotely control things with greater ease because we see the BCI, or the brain-computer interface, as being the next great interface for really making the world a much more interesting place, right? You can control things without having to pull things out of your hands and so on. We're developing a solution that enables people to literally think in order to speak. And I wanted to share a video with you to give you an idea of what we're doing so that you can start to get excited about the things that are coming in the realm of unlocking communication for many people in the world.
If you can imagine not being able to talk, she can't communicate like you or I. You can imagine not having a voice.
The reason why we're doing what we're doing is because we want to democratize voice for millions of people. We take the data that comes from your brainwaves to have pros speak a phrase out loud. Liz is now able to think, and pros speaks on her behalf.
Yes.
Liz, you just did it!
Communication is everything for her.
Using brain and facial inputs. I mean, this is history.
Yes.
And you're watching. The world we're going to create is that every single person, regardless of your ability, is going to be able to communicate.
I love you.
It's just going to happen.
It's just going to happen. We're going to make sure that everybody on the planet will be able to just think and speak. Now, why would you want to do that? Of course, what's being pitched, of course, is those with disabilities and stuff. But again, as we saw with the other aspect, they're pitching this to the average Joe, not just with those with disabilities. Okay? And so think about it. I mean, so yeah, it's great, but listen, put it into this perspective. You add this to all the other forms of communication that's already being done electronically for Big Brother purposes, that's not coming, that's already here. You tie this in with AI, with now all these internalization of the communication technology with the brain chips and all that stuff. And then you have AI running the back end system. Then put yourself into the Antichrist shoes. Go back to Matthew 24. How is he going to know, first of all, when the order is given, whether somebody says, yes, I will worship him, no, I won't? Not just the Big Brother technology with our modern technology study, but now with the internalization of communication, he'll know. He'll even, you may not even had AI speak it, but he'll know your thoughts before it even gets out. And folks, we're talking on a global basis. And we're talking technology that's not just coming, it's already here. What about trying to find you? Or how is other people going to turn somebody else in when they turn to Jesus and they're trying to save their own hide? They just got to think it. And AI will report it. Do you see the unfortunate circumstances of control? You get everybody into this new form of global, even internalized communication system via a chip in the brain. Folks, it's your biggest nightmare coming. In fact, this guy admits it. Watch this.
This is technologies are the future of the brain. Our human brain and where it is headed with technology. Right now, scientists in laboratories around the world are developing brain chips. Now, these are chips that can be inserted into the brain, and they are wireless. We will have brain chips in humans. And the people who will get those brain chips first are people who suffer from severe medical conditions. So if you have a severe medical condition, like you're paralyzed from the neck down, or you suffer a brain disorder like Alzheimer's disease or Parkinson's disease, and that brain chip can restore your quality of life, would you hesitate to get the chip? No, of course not. You would say, put the chip in my brain. Mind-to-mind communication. This is something of science fiction that we all read about. But this is actually possible today, as I just showed you. So there will come a point where if we have a chip in our brain, and you out there have a chip in your brain, we can communicate. We can communicate without talking. We can communicate when you're halfway around the world. And we can exchange knowledge. So, if you look at a world where we have these chips that are connected to the internet, all of a sudden, every piece of information on the internet becomes accessible to our minds. Now, when we look back at today and we have to go to Baidu or Google and type it in, that will seem so primitive. Nobody will do that. You will just think, what knowledge do I need? And it will appear there for you to use. But it gets even weirder, stranger, because we will not only be able to transfer knowledge, but we will be able to transfer memories. Now, so you could have an experience like skydiving, and all of a sudden you could transfer that experience to a friend, and all of a sudden they have experienced what you have experienced. It gets even weirder, because we will be living our lives as our lives. We know our lives and our memories, but you will all of a sudden have access to anybody's life who wants to make it available to you.
Including the Antichrist. Think of how freaky this is. Actual technology, not coming, but it's already here, already being promoted. Transfer your thoughts? Now, again, go back to our premise, and, oh, I don't need Jesus. I don't need to get saved right now to avoid the 7-year tribulation. I'm the ultimate survivor. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to spill the beans on the Antichrist. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to communicate to it. You ain't going to communicate nothing. There's already control of the global communication that's already being monitored. We already dealt with that. But now with this internalized form, the moment you even think about talking smack about the Antichrist, he'll either come and get you and take you out, or he'll intercept that communication from your brain and make sure it never gets to anyone, or he'll even just delete it on the spot. Crazy. You're starting to wonder why Jesus said this is going to be the worst time in the history of mankind. Remember, this isn't the first time that God judged the planet. He did it once before with the flood. I think that's pretty bad. Only 8 people survived and the animals on the boat. Can we agree? Why is the 7-year tribulation the worst? Even worse than that? You start putting all this together, you don't want to be there for not one nanosecond. Okay? But that's not all. The next area that AI has taken over is education. And again, I think that he's covering all bases, the Antichrist, my opinion, Crone theory, because you unfortunately might still be out there. Well, hey, that's right. Okay, so maybe I can't communicate what the Antichrist is up to. I still don't need Jesus because here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to educate people. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to educate them. Or, no, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get educated myself, and I'm going to work myself up into a position of influence. And then when I get power, you know, and then I could battle him, and I'll warn the world of what he's up to, and we'll destroy his dastardly deeds, and we'll put a stop. Are you kidding me? As if he hasn't thought of that? AI, folks, listen right now, is not only taking over the communication on a global basis, AI is being pitched to replace our current education system on a global basis. Shocker. AI will control all information, what people learn, what they get, what's good, what's bad, what's ugly, and somebody else, not people, will determine that. And you really don't think the Antichrist will do that? And the way that they're pitching this is because, hey, you know, those human teachers, we've heard stories. Right? We can't even get them to pass a test to prove that they're, you know, able to do that. And now we got this COVID thing going on, and kids need to be educated. That ain't working out. You're hearing stories. This online ain't working out. And then some teachers don't want to go back. We need somebody to fix the educational and personalize it for each individual kid. Get the best possible. What's AI? And it's not coming, folks. It's already here. Listen to this. AI, according to studies, the sector that will undergo the most change with AI is education between now and 2030. And they're saying it's because of the schools. It just doesn't work, and we need somebody to fix it. In fact, let me give you just a couple of the so-called benefits that they're saying why we need to switch to non-human education with AI. Okay, let me just rip through a bunch of them. The AI can provide personalized learning. It can provide online learning, adaptive learning. So it can assist special needs students. It can manage educational games. It can manage virtual reality learning. It can do all the lesson planning, all the testing, all the grading, all the scheduling, all the assignments, all the administration, and all the management. Well, you don't have to pay that administration cost. The NEA, we all know, man, we're spending millions and millions, if not billions of dollars on these people with high salaries. You don't need that anymore. How much money could you save if you just allow AI to take over the educational system? It can manage all school transportation, all maintenance, all school finances, all school purchases. It can manage cybersecurity. It can manage all safety and security. It can manage facial recognition systems. And it could provide, here's the word again, what kind of schools? Smart schools. There's that word again. At least they're being consistent. Supplant that word with what? Big Brother, because that's what this is. The Internet of Things, IoT, smart schools that connects all electronic devices, all computers, so that AI can monitor and control all things. As we'll see here in a second, they're pitching it. The students need to have a microchip in it to connect them to the system. And AI will control it all. You can predict this student's future performance, their future jobs that don't even exist. AI will know which one to train them for. It can monitor classroom behavior. It can spot cheating and even monitor emotional well-being. That's already being done. I'll show that here in a second. It can create instant schools anywhere in the whole world. And, of course, it could render normal large schools obsolete that, you know, we got to pay for and manage. And it could connect all classrooms around the whole world, making education what? Universal and global for everyone. With who? AI controlling it all. That means you not only control the narrative of all communication, now you're controlling the narrative of what people get educated. And you don't think the Antichrist is going to tap into that system? And again, folks, what they're saying is this thing is going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. AI can handle it all. We ain't going to need no humans. And again, what they say is, listen, just the AI investments just in the education industry is set to surpass $6 billion by 2024. They're putting all their eggs in this basket. This COVID thing has just put it even on steroids even more as the rationale. And now they're starting to produce commercials of the new education experience. AI controlling it all with AI robots. Monitoring them with kids with chips on their hands. Isn't that great? Yeah, here's a commercial. Watch this.
Star, a supernova. me at pool, and then she kissed me like there was nobody else in the room. As last orders were called was when she stood on the stool after dancing to Kaylee, singing to trad tunes. I never heard Carrick Fergus ever sung so sweet. A cappella in the bar using her feet for a beat. Oh, I could have that voice playing on repeat for a week. And in this packed out room, swear she was singing to me. You know she played her fiddle in an Irish band, but she fell in love with an Englishman. Kissed her on the neck and then I took her by the hands. And baby, I just wanna dance.
Boy, you can cool it down. I need a fool around. Just wanna dance, dance, dance. Dance, dance, dance. I know you want me, but I don't care, baby. Just wanna dance, dance, dance. Dance, dance, dance.
You, oh, oh, oh. Got me feeling like, feeling like the only one. You, oh, oh, oh. Got me feeling like, feeling like the only one.
You've had enough to eat, little girl. I'm not picking on her. As we saw, she was a little overweight. And remember we saw last week? AI controlling the food supply? And they'll dictate what we eat and drink? And they're using that obesity crisis thing? You know, and then, of course, you got food that goes on in school. So the same AI system is what? Drop the strawberries, little girl. You've had it. Isn't this nuts? All tying together. Oh, and by the way, if you notice, if everything gets switched to robots, you don't have to pay teachers. How much money can we save, right? Oh, and by the way, especially with this COVID thing, don't have to worry about germs. See ya. Robots, you know, scrub them down once with some Windex, good to go. It's amazing, right? But folks, these are actual commercials. Oh, and again, as I saw, what was the whole scenario being taught? What did the kids have to have with them? A little microchip, right? And that tied him into this whole system. And you think, well, kids ain't going to go along with this. They could put commercials. No, they're already there. Now, as we saw before in our modern technology study with social media and cell phones, what's it produced? Kids that are more tuned into technology, they are being ostracized. They're being individualized. And this is a stat, quote, 51% of teens would rather communicate digitally rather than in person, even with their own friends. So kids today with cell phones and social media, side effect of that constant video saturation, and they're just, everybody's just a zombie now looking at their phones and they're isolated and they'll spend hours and hours not outside playing the normal human communication, just machine interface. So our 51% right now, not coming, says, I'd rather talk to a robot than a person. So even that aspect has created the society to go along with this AI control of the educational system. And it's not just coming, folks. This system is already being put into play. Quote, AI can spot children nodding off in a classroom. Not coming. It's already being done. Now, this the big example, of course, is in China. High school students in one Chinese school may want to think twice before dozing off in class. AI cameras with facial recognition tools will be watching. And they're not just watching them, but they're monitoring every aspect of their educational process all along the way. And guess what it is that ties them into the system? A head device that monitors them at all times. Watch it. It's already being put into play. Watch this.
红色是表示你的专注力显示得很高.
Teachers at this primary school in China
蓝色是走神了.
Know exactly when someone isn't paying attention.
白色就是你可能跟网络还没有连接好.
These headbands measure each student's level of concentration. The information is then directly sent to the teacher's computer and to parents. China has big plans to become a global leader in artificial intelligence. It has enabled a cashless economy where people make purchases with their faces. A giant network of surveillance cameras with facial recognition helps police monitor citizens. Meanwhile, some schools offer glimpses of what the future of high-tech education in the country might look like. The government has poured billions of dollars into the project, bringing together tech giants, startups, and schools. We got exclusive access to a primary school a few hours outside of Shanghai. To see firsthand how AI tech is being used in the classroom. For this fifth grade class, the day begins with putting on a brainwave sensing gadget. Students then practice meditating. The device is made in China and has three electrodes, two behind the ears and one on the forehead. These sensors pick up electrical signals sent by neurons in the brain. The neural data is then sent in real time to the teacher's computer. So while students are solving math problems, a teacher can quickly find out who's paying attention and who's not. A report is then generated that shows how well the class was paying attention. It even details each student's concentration level at 10-minute intervals. It's then sent to a chat group for parents.
就是他可以看到每个人的评分。
Good job!
Classrooms have robots that analyze students' health and engagement levels. Students wear uniforms with chips that track their locations. There are even surveillance cameras that monitor how often students check their phones or yawn during classes. These gadgets have alarmed Chinese netizens.
What was that last statement there? It's worse than being a prisoner. You ain't joking. No wonder this is the worst time in the history of mankind. Oh, and you know the problem. I mean, they're monitoring their brainwaves, but those bands could fall off or get lost. But not if you get a what? Brain chip. Step-by-step process. Okay? And it's connected to that. And again, speaking of which, that's already being promoted too. They're promoting internal education. Okay? So that's what they're saying. Okay, we're not just setting up this AI-controlled system on a global basis to control the communication and the education. Okay, but you need to tie it together with a brain chip. And if you get the brain chip, then it's just going to, again, like the communication thing, it's going to unlock all kinds of ease in your education process like never before, including, shocker, guess who's coming out with one? Google. Google has a brain chip that can mean the future for school pupils will not need to memorize facts anymore. Huh? And I quote, the days of rote learning could soon be past. According to one AI expert, implants in our heads will tell us everything we need to know. Future school pupils with Google brain implants will have answers to all their questions instantly with the help of AI. Quote, Google will be in your head. Remember we saw they've quoted, still in print, Google wants to be like the mind of God. They'll be like the mind of God because they'll be in your head. They'll even know your thoughts. It's crazy, folks. It's already being promoted. And listen to this. Humans, just like the guy said on that other video that seems so science fiction, but he said it's already here. Humans will be able, if you get the Google chip, to get answers to any questions they may have without making a sound or typing anything. You can ask something like, how do you say this in French? And instantly you'll hear the information from the AI implant and be able to say it. Well, now you're getting kind of freaky like the Hollywood Matrix movie. Remember that? You just get this information jacked into the back of your head. Instantly, you know kung fu. Remember that? Let's watch that again.
Yeah, Mikey, I think he likes it. How about some more?
Yes.
Show me. This is a sparring program, similar to the programmed reality of the Matrix.
It has the same basic rules, rules like gravity. What you must learn is that these rules are no different than the rules of a computer system. Some of them can be bent. Others can be broken. Understand? Then hit me, if you can.
You know, I couldn't help it. That reminded me of a deacon's meeting I was at a church I used to pastor. at, it was not here, okay, I'll just say that, but let's distance ourselves from that. But that was a movie. Remember we said Hollywood's what? It's not just our entertainment. What is Hollywood? It's a propaganda tool. Hollywood prepares us for what's coming, the future that they, the elitists, are building for us, whether you want it or not. And that's what they're saying, folks. This could happen. And not just instantly if you get the brain chip, you know, and there's different versions. Google, of course, is one of them. But you could learn not just kung fu, but anything you can imagine, right? Writing, mathematics, some other physical skill, cooking. How many marriages right now could be... Notice my wife is not here today. But if you're thinking, come on, this will never catch on. Folks, it's already being promoted. If you get a brain chip, the education factors are unlimited. In fact, it may give you a leg up on somebody else on the corporate ladder. Watch this.
Our brains are remarkable. Miraculous, even. But they can't do everything. Unless we give them a little high-tech help.
When children see the movie The Matrix, and they see Neo jacking an electrode and all of a sudden becoming a gung-fu master, the first question they ask is, how can I get one? It's actually physically possible.
The key to transforming learning from an organic process to a machine-like downloading of information is a squiggly bit of brain known as the hippocampus.
The hippocampus is the gateway to memories. Short-term memories are stored right here in the prefrontal cortex, but eventually they have to be transferred to long-term memories, and that's where the hippocampus comes in.
This part of the brain doesn't store the memories, but it does the appropriate conversion.
At the University of Southern California, bioengineer Ted Berger has already proven that a computer chip can replace or enhance brain function.
Right now, what our prosthesis does is to convert a code that's kind of in the middle of the hippocampus to what would be the output of the hippocampus.
They've been able to take mice and access the electrical signals coursing through the hippocampus and record them. And then when they shot the message back into the hippocampus, the mouse remembered the task.
We found that we can not only restore long-term memories, we can enhance the animal's ability to remember. You could think about using devices like this to greatly enhance human memory and to shorten the cycle for learning in terms of downloading huge quantities of memory at a single time.
Chips that augment our hippocampus could very well help us learn faster. So will that make them a must-have for competitive parents?
At that point, it could create an arms race in elementary school.
What is 4 times 3?
Rumors go out that, well, Jones's kid, he's been enhanced, and our Johnny has to compete with this enhanced kid.
The reality is that with these kinds of technologies, they do not get distributed to everyone at the same time. Some people get it first, some people get it better.
As a society, we have to really think long and hard about who gets this. If it's just the wealthy, that there are real dangers that they will use it to consolidate their power and their wealth.
Including the Antichrist. And again, the term says there with the mark of the beast in the hand or the head, the forehead, yeah, to dictate what you buy and sell. Maybe this is another leverage point. Maybe this is another temptation. Hey, if you take that mark of the beast, your kids get the best education, get a leg up on everybody else. You get access to information all the time. And how many people do you know who would probably do that right now? All out of convenience and just wanting to get that leverage, okay? Get the mark, get the chip in your head. You'll be like the Joneses kid ahead of the game, get the best education. And of course, that leads to some serious dangers as we close out. They're already saying that, shocker, some of the side effects of these brain chips could do some very nefarious things. Number one, AI brain implants can change a person's mood. Just like we saw on purpose with Neuralink, that they could increase oxytocin and serotonin levels, it could change your mood. Now, this is a particular brain chip. There's a bunch of versions out there. This one's by DARPA. Now, watch what this one does. These chips were created by DARPA that produces, listen, electric shocks to jolt a patient's brain back into a healthy state automatically. Now, could the Antichrist do that? You get out of line in the 7-year tribulation. Right? You even think about not doing what he says. Right? You have another thought. You even start, your thoughts start to linger towards God and Jesus. You think he wouldn't use that? Quote, these mind-controlled chips emit electronic pulses that alter brain chemistry in a process called deep brain stimulation. You've given this guy now access to your brain. Don't think it's going to be a good thing, obviously. The second thing is, now this will also give them the ability to hack into your brains, we saw before, and to, quote, control body movements. Watch this. Imagine somebody remotely controlling your brain, forcing your body's central processing organ to send messages to your muscles that you did not authorize. It's an incredibly scary thought, but scientists have managed to accomplish this science fiction nightmare for real. They were even able, watch this, to prompt their test subjects to freeze, run, freeze in place, turn around, even completely lose control of their limbs because they got the brain chip. And again, you think the Antichrist wouldn't use that? You try to flee, you try to run, you ain't going nowhere. You try to communicate, you try to educate, you ain't saying nothing, you ain't doing nothing. Because you got schnookered into giving him access even to your very brain. I don't think it's all by chance. It's all being promoted. Not just the hand, but as we saw today, even more so now with the head. Okay? In fact, once again, this guy warns, this is exactly where it's headed. Some guy can hijack this whole system, and we're toast. Watch this.
All of us are here learning at Siebes, right? Getting EMBAs and MBAs. Well, this will be obsolete because Siebes will literally be in the cloud. And you will just download from all the best minds in the world whatever you need to know when you need to know it. Our brains will be, we will no longer have universities as we have them today. That will change. Information will be on demand. Information will be commoditized. Knowledge will be commoditized. All of us will be smarter, have infinite amounts of storage, and infinite access to information. It will be unheard of. We will no longer be this isolated human being. We will be connected to everything. And when we do that, we have to understand that this is a big responsibility. It's something we as a society, we as the human race, must think about very, very carefully. Because imagine, people can hack your cell phone now. People can hack your computer. And it can be bad. They can steal your banking information, take all your money. They can steal your identity. But they can't really hurt you. In the future, though, if somebody hacks into your head because it's connected to the internet, they can steal you. They could actually steal you. They can implant memories in your head that you don't have. They could erase memories. They could control you in ways that you wouldn't even know you're being controlled. Is this scary?
And the answer is?
Yes.
Absolutely. And you think all this tied together the Antichrist wouldn't do? You ain't going to be able to communicate nothing. You're not going to be able to educate nobody on nothing. Your only option is what? You better get saved right now if you're not saved. And that's why Jesus said when these things begin to happen, and they're happening. And again, I believe this is all going to be culminated in the 7-year tribulation. The church is raptured prior to that. So what do we do with this information? Run, freak out, hide to the hills. No. What's he saying? When these things begin to take place, translate it to what it is. What do we should get excited. Praise God, the rapture is God. We don't know the date and the hour, but it's got to be getting close. So for you and I, as a Christian, it's a time to get even more excited. Because last time I checked, leaving this messed up, cursed, suffering, evil, wicked society and going to be with Jesus in heaven and being a part of the millennial kingdom and the new heavens and new earth is a little bit better. All right? Hello. That's what happens at the rapture. It's not a bad thing. It's the best case scenario. And news that it's getting close should excite us. That's why the scripture says if you love him, you should long for his appearing. Not run from it. Not say, that's doom and gloom. I shared this with a speaking engagement a couple weeks ago. And the lady, we were talking. I says, listen, they had a family member. They don't want to hear Bible prophecy. I didn't come here to hear this. Well, first of all, it's Bible prophecy. If you want to learn the Bible, you're going to get it. And you should be happy about it because it's good news. Okay, if you're saved. And I says to me that when people say that they're Christians, and maybe they are, but if they sit there and literally say that this is doom and gloom, I don't want to hear it. Number one, you just call God a liar. Because Revelation 1 says, blessed are those who hear, who read, and take this to heart. Why? Because when you realize the time's close, it gets rid of procrastination. That's a good thing. It gets you more excited about Jesus coming back. That's a good thing. It gets you motivated to witness like never before because this could be the last day. That's a good thing. These are all good things. But I told him this. I says, as a pastor, I've not only done funerals, I've done weddings. I'm not trying to compare the two, right? I won't go there. But think about it. I says, I have never, in all the couples that I've married, and I always do premarital counseling. We spend at least 3 months together before I agree, you know, to the marriage. And I think it's the right thing to do. And but I have never once, the closer we get to that wedding date, never once from either side, male or female, right? I've never heard him say, Pastor Billy, if you bring up this wedding date one more time, I'm just going to puke right here. I'm not ever coming back to this counseling. I didn't come here to hear this news that my wedding is getting closer. That's doom and gloom. Right? Now, if somebody did that in premarital counseling, what would you say? You probably shouldn't get married. That's not a healthy sign. Can I tell you something? We're the bride of Jesus Christ. And he's coming back to get us. And we're headed for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Bible prophecy tells you that date is getting close. And if you actually sit there as a so-called Christian and say, it's doom and gloom, something's wrong. And you better get your heart right with God. Because that means you've given your heart to something else other than Jesus. And that's reserved for him alone. But maybe you say that because I don't know your heart. Maybe it's because you're not saved. Because if you're truly grateful for what Jesus Christ has done for us and won for us, how could you say that his return for his bride is horrible? So I implore you, if you're not saved, turn to him today and find the joy of his salvation. And if the rapture were to happen today, and it could, you can leave the planet with the rest of us for the greatest future you could ever imagine that no one, not even yourself, could ever take away, all because of Jesus. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.